This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Woo! Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Tuesday, 1 o'clock. Final hour. Still a lot to get to. We'll get back into the big story of the day here. Brandon Adams is going to join us in about 20 minutes as well. I haven't had a chance to talk to him since all that info came out about how much revenue sharing was going to athletic departments, how much money the football team is going to have at UGA next year, just from a revenue sharing standpoint being in the SEC. We'll get BA's thoughts on all that and some other college football related topics. The AMA coming up at 1:40 as well. Any question, any topic, the phone lines will be open, 404-726-0929, so we'll answer your questions there. And the final hour, as always, brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Book an appointment for a convenient time at ReliableAir.com.
All right, so the Mets are on right now. And again, another former Braves, they showed him on the screen, A.J. Minter.
Yep.
You're like, damn, A.J. was here. Do other teams' players come here and their fan base is like, damn, that was someone?
Probably.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm always curious about
probably.
That.
Probably. Like, what do you mean? They come to the Braves and then they're like, oh, man, I wish they were still here?
Yeah.
I bet, yeah, Jurickson Profar probably has that.
You think
that he was an all-star last year. They'll see him and probably wish they still had him. I'm sure the Red Sox are kicking themselves about Chris Sale.
Obviously.
I mean, that was, you know,
right.
Who could have known?
Who could have known?
I'm sure they're pretty mad about that. Yeah, I don't know. Like, you guys probably have a better gauge on that than I do, like in terms of the Braves free agent history.
Yeah.
Is that something where people come here and thrive, or is it something where people come here and it's like, oh, well, that was a waste, or that was a bad trade that we made, or something like
Upton
that?
Brothers.
Because it always feels to me, as an outsider, and not having covered the team for like almost a decade, so many of these guys are homegrown,
right. Like
drafted and developed and through the minor league system. But like, to me, it's always felt like everything the Braves did turns to gold.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that's not true. I know there's the J.D. Drews and the Teixeiras and stuff like that. But, like, okay. Like we always say, when you can come up with the examples easily and count them on one hand.
There's not a lot of them.
It's a pretty good indicator that there's not that many examples of it, because it's a really good franchise. It's been run well for a really long time. So, probably. Because I think, to me, when the Braves sign people, they
usually do
they
good.
Ball.
But maybe because, I mean, that year, and I always think about every time the World Series team. And I remember from the first World Series where guys started leaving, like, damn. Knowing that probably it's time for them to go.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the same thing here. I just saw Minter, and then I saw Matt sit, and obviously I talked about Sean Newt wasn't on the team. But then you're like, okay, well, it was probably time. But that was thinking about that, always getting nostalgic when you
that
think
group
about
was very special.
That group. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then obviously it was time to break them up. But you still, every time you see them, like, damn. Boy, what a damn time that was.
Well, and I bet that's what it is.
Probably,
I bet if there's a, you know, who's a team, like that Cubs team, you know, that won the World Series a number of years ago. You know, they see Schwarber elsewhere. They see, you know, they see other guys doing other stuff. Rizzo. It's like, dang, remember that? Because that's what it is. You don't get too sad about it unless it brings you back to
right,
a good time.
Place. Yeah.
Or, and this is what happened to the Mariners for years and still is happening to them. Anytime someone would leave, they would go somewhere else and be
ball.
Incredible. They would be incredible. Like, maybe they were good there, they would go somewhere else and be better. Maybe they were on track to be a Hall of Famer there, you'd lose them somehow, and then they'd go somewhere else and win a World Series.
When's the last time that's happened here?
Who?
That somebody left and went and just started balling.
William Contreras, but you never would have saw that coming. Okay. He's actually rated as like the best catcher in baseball.
Contreras is a good example. Although he made All-Star team here.
He made one.
One.
He was a DH.
I think he was. He was the DH. But he was there the 1 year. I don't know. I'm trying to think back. I mean, the shortstop, Simmons, Andrelton Simmons, went and had a pretty nice, it wasn't great, but had a pretty good year, pretty good career elsewhere.
The closer. Kimbrel.
Yeah, Kimbrel. Yeah, Kimbrel's a good example.
Yeah, he did all right for a year or two-ish, but then he kind of just started sliding down that.
But he kept getting jobs, boy.
Yeah.
Who he closing for this year?
Somebody.
Because he kept getting jobs.
Now, they cut him last year, the Orioles.
He kept getting jobs, man.
He was around forever.
Yeah, he kept getting jobs.
He's up there. He's like top five all time in terms of career saves.
Yeah,
but how about this, though? Like, you know, Randy Johnson didn't leave. And then go win a Cy Young for five straight years in a World Series, you know? So that didn't happen. Or A-Rod. A-Rod didn't leave and then hit 700 home runs elsewhere. I guess at least Griffey sucked after he left, but that was sad, too. No one wanted to see Griffey do that.
Right.
He sucked when he left, but yeah.
My bad.
No, it's fine. Yeah. I'm over it. I don't root for that team anymore. They're dead to me. The only thing that I'm sad about from that perspective, thing COVID robbed us of was Felix Hernandez was going to be a Brave.
Yes.
He was pitching good in spring.
Yes.
He was going to make the opening day roster.
Yes.
Now, it probably wasn't going to be pretty because that man had a 91-mile-an-hour fastball and a 90-mile-an-hour changeup. So it was not going to be good, probably. But it would have been fun to see Felix in a, you know, the Braves jersey.
I do remember that.
The bobblehead and everything. I was fired up. I was ready to go. I love that guy.
Then what happened?
COVID.
Yeah, no COVID happened, but then
rum. And tacos or something.
You know, my friend.
I don't know.
You know, my friend. I'm fine.
some sort of bean-based dish. I'm not sure, but he was not in. He wasn't in pitching shape once COVID was over.
Like, you know what?
Hey, man, it happened to a lot of people.
You know what? I'm good.
We're at home. People were at home. You didn't have to impress anybody. Everybody wore sweats for 8 months. Ate carbs.
Oh God.
Got big. Like, that's what happened, man. Pretty much. All right. Let's get to the big story of the day to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain.
12 seconds to go in the game now. Bain bouncing it outside. Down to six. Bain trying to drive. And it's stolen by Dyson Daniels. Up to Caris LeVert. Caris goes in. He lays it up and in right at the buzzer. And the Atlanta Hawks have won. Dyson Daniels just stole it. Dyson Daniels stole it. And the Atlanta Hawks have won. The Atlanta Hawks have won this game right at the buzzer.
Picked him clean, man. Dyson Daniels absolutely undressing, makes the play. The lead pass to Caris LeVert, who was incredible in the fourth quarter last night. I was a little bit surprised. Like, it was clean, but like, most guys, star caliber guys, flop. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if he picked Jaw clean like that, Jaw would have acted
like somebody
had committed a crime against him. You know what I mean?
But he's so good at that.
Desmond Bane just like owned it, which respect.
Damn,
I respect.
He got me.
But like, most guys would have flopped and maybe even gotten a call because it was phantom if it would have been. Because he got him. It was clean. It was clean. But most guys would have fallen on the ground. So shout to Desmond Bane for not being soft.
Well, I mean, that's like Dyson just gets his hand on the ball. And it was perfect time. He was setting it up perfectly. And that little reaching he does, man.
He's very good at it.
I mean, he gets him. And then for the awareness to get the ball and to get the ball up the floor, to Caris, and then he hit the slow ass. And I'm
slow
talking
ass
about
Europe.
That wasn't Audubon Europe.
No.
That was not an Audubon Euro step. Goodness gracious.
You're going to have to lay it up.
Can you get the ball off?
The light's about to go.
Know, but he got it just in time and everything like that.
Actually, it was perfect.
And Hawks get a nice win up there. Obviously, they're coming back playing against a Milwaukee team. That's tough. We know that. We know Giannis and all those different things like that. But, it feels good to get a win last night, break a losing streak, and able to, feel good for at least a day. I thought, and we talked about Dyson. You're up. You're talking about it. I don't think all of us here at the station are like, Let's start a campaign.
I'm the last one on. Yeah, I'm on.
Let's start a campaign.
You got me.
Let's start a campaign.
Not it. Yeah. I just, you know, I didn't think it was real.
But let's start
defensive player of the year.
We know he's going to be first team all defense. Mm-hmm. But why not?
Why not? I mean,
this dude has been so impactful since the day he's gotten here as far as maybe being one of the better perimeter defenders in ball. Love it.
Does the defense have to be a good defense for the player to win defensive player of the year?
I don't know what the criteria a lot for defensive player of the year, because it's like, why didn't Marc Gasol win it that year that LeBron should have won it? Like, was he a block shot block guy and the rebounds? Yeah. I don't know.
Rim protectors tend to win it.
Yeah, why do you think Rudy Gobert got all of them?
He's got a lot of them, including last year.
Yeah.
The year before was Jaren Jackson, who got hurt last night in like the second minute, Hawks benefit. Now, Marcus Smart, perimeter defender, pesky, whatever, he won it a couple years ago. But before that, Gobert, Giannis, Draymond, Kawhi, a couple times, perimeter. So, yeah, it can happen, but all those teams are good.
Draymond.
Not a bad team in there.
I forgot Draymond didn't win one.
Yeah, Draymond got one.
Draymond's in guard tonight. Does he yoke out Cat tonight?
Oh yeah.
No, they're in the,
everybody's focused on Steph going back to the Garden with all his history there. But
Draymond Cat, and Cat tonight.
And Draymond
should be an interesting one.
The undercard
should be an interesting one in the Garden.
Yeah, I mean I don't know. Sure, is Jimmy playing? Because when he plays, they're 8-1.
I think he's gonna play.
Okay,
I think he's gonna play.
They're a pretty good team when he plays.
Yeah, they are.
And have you heard of? I had never heard of this. I don't know how I hadn't heard of this. But I had never heard of it, and I guess it's like almost a total like rule of thumb about who wins the NBA championship. Phil Jackson had the 40-20 thing. Like, you got to win 40 games before you lose 20 games in a season, and if you do that, you're a legit contender.
Okay.
Only in the last 45 years, only three teams that didn't do that won the championship. So the other 42 teams had won 40 games before.
Okay.
So it's out basically. That's the litmus test for championship contenders.
What are the three teams?
Historically?
Yeah.
And they're all kind of outliers, too, right? I bet you can guess them. Like, think of the champions over the last, because they've all happened in the last 20 years.
Pistons.
No, sorry, last 30. Pistons are one of them. The 04 Pistons are one of them. Last 30 years that were, like, championship, but that was based on a playoff run, a late season run, that kind
Pistons,
of thing.
Pistons, Bucks?
Nope.
Okay.
No, the Bucks they won a lot of games that year.
Rockets?
Rockets in 95.
Okay.
The second one of the back-to-back, the Clutch City Rockets.
All right.
Nice. So you got two of the three. And then you might have been there when this one happened. Yeah. And that one is a little weird, too, because they fired Van Gundy
and then,
20 games in. And then when Riley took over, they were a 40-20 team, really. So based on that criteria, there's only three teams in the NBA that can win a championship this year. Cavs, Celtics, and Thunder.
Really?
And I buy it.
I do.
I really don't think any other team. I mean, maybe because I don't know. I can't talk myself into the Lakers.
I'm not trying to.
I can't do it.
I'm not trying to.
I can't do that. The Nuggets, I don't know. They're not deep enough. They're good, though.
They're
not deep
enough. And they're playing better.
Nobody else in the West I buy. And nobody else in the East I buy. So, yeah, it kind of holds, right?
Yeah. If you think about the teams that I bet those are the three highest odds teams.
Have to be.
Yeah, I bet those are three highest odds teams to get it. I know we got to go to break, but I wanted to get something in real quick. Bo, you were watching this WrestleMania. Why did I just read this story on Bleacher Report that Cody Rhodes suffered a busted eardrum and a black eye when he got hit by Travis Scott? Travis Scott
right,
was that?
So that's
Travis
even
Scott
another
was
part.
Wrestling?
All right, so
that was actually from listening to his music,
or he attended one of his concerts. And maybe Travis said for people to
that's not
brush
nice.
The stick.
I like Travis Scott's music.
So Travis Scott comes out with The Rock. All right, and Travis did the theme for like Royal Rumble or something like that. Right. He has a great relationship with WWE, so I'm not 100% sure if Travis Scott knew how to play off, how to deflect punches or whatnot.
Yeah, probably
While
not.
While Cody's on the ground after John Cena beats him to a pulp with the Rolex and whatnot, you know, I played y'all, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Travis Scott comes and gets over Cody, and there is no faking to the punch that he gives Cody right to the side of his head while Cody's laying on the mat.
Hell no.
They didn't teach him how to do the wrestling
punch? I guess not,
punch?
Or maybe I, yeah, it was very, yeah, like,
dang,
dude, what are you
come
doing
on.
Here? Like, it's going to be a minute before they allow Travis Scott to touch anybody. Like,
hell yeah!
Yeah, man. You got to learn the moves before you go out
when
there.
When Hulk Hogan toured Hollywood, he had, like, Dennis Rodman there.
Right.
They always have somebody from, like, the hip-hop world or sports or something. So Travis Scott has
some
been
celebrity.
That guy.
Some celebrity.
Recently in the WWE, yeah. Okay. So, wow, that's crazy.
I didn't know
broken
that.
Eardrum. Because you should Google it. It looks
Can
like
you
he
you imagine how
kinda,
bad that would hurt?
He kind of tries to
eardrum.
Flat fist him, but,
God.
Oh, yeah, there's... No holding back.
No, thanks. All right, Brandon Adams is going to join us next. Dog Nation Daily, Georgia Bulldogs insider. We'll talk some Georgia football with him, some general college football as well. Might even talk a little Georgia basketball, too, honestly. The men have been winning the last couple of games. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. 20 minutes away from the AMA, any question, any topic, really like 15 actually, 15 minutes away. We'll get the phone lines open, 404-726-0929. All we need you to do is call us up and ask us anything. We'll answer to the best of our ability, but Brandon Adams joins us at 1:20 on Tuesdays from Dog Nation, host of the Dog Nation Daily Podcast. BA, how are you?
I will also try to answer questions to the best of my ability, although I'm sure I'm not as successful at that as y'all are.
Look, man, it's all we can do. All we can do is try our hardest, and then we'll sort of see where the chips fall. We didn't get a chance to talk about this last week because the details hadn't come out fully on Tuesday. I think they came out Tuesday night. Just about all of the money that the Georgia Athletic Department is going to get from the revenue-sharing model, $13.5 million of it going to the football program. What was your, I guess, kind of first blush reaction to that now that you've had a week to process it? Where are you at with that?
I think the big question is how much the NIL still exists on top of this. Because if we were to say, okay, well, now the pie of money you're paying players with is $13 or $14 million, that leads me to believe a lot of players in 2025 are going to be making less money than their counterparts would have been making a couple of years ago. Because, you know, I do think we have lived in a world the last couple of years where, and I don't mean this in any way disrespectful, the solid starter across the sport, the guy who's like a part of the starting 11 but not necessarily showing up on the magazine covers, I think that guy's been paid pretty well recently, and I don't know how much that necessarily continues moving forward. But I think the most interesting thing to see, we don't have resolution on this yet, although I would suspect it's going to be, you know, pretty significant, is how much there is still the sort of fundraising and the NIL and how much of that ends up being a supplement over the regular revenue sharing. And not to get too deep in the weeds, people don't like court case stuff, but, like, you know, the Oregon legislature is fighting to keep NIL deals.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, confidential, which means that the clearinghouse that's run by Deloitte, that's sort of measuring the fair market value of these deals, I have a sneaking suspicion that's not going to hold up legally, and that whether it be legislatures change laws or courts sort of strike down the proposition, I sort of still think even in a revenue-sharing world, we're probably going to still have a good number of NIL deals that sort of feel like what the last couple of years have been. That's my best guess anyway.
Yeah, Dan Lennon think he's slick out there. He think he real slick.
Feels like a tough state to get that kind of thing passed. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he think he's slick.
You might be able to do it somewhere else, but I don't know about there.
Hey, BA, week away, next week. Yeah, spring ball starts up next week. Damn, it's already that time right now. I mean, give me some of your initial thoughts. I mean, my biggest thing, and I always say this, don't nobody get hurt, BA. Don't nobody get hurt and got to come in the training camp banged up, because for some reason it seems like at Georgia with Kirby, if you're scheduled to miss 1 to 2 weeks, you miss a month.
Yeah, that's true. And obviously you're going to have a long list of, and Kirby will start off rattling through all the labrum surgeries and stuff like that. I mean, the list of guys that won't be fully participating will probably be pretty long. I don't put a lot in that. I'll tell you right now, the thing I'm the most interested in is if you go back and look at the combine from last week and you listen to Tate Ratledge, and if you listen to Trevor Etienne, and if you listen to some of the guys who were there wide receiver-wise, Arian Smith, whatnot, a lot of Georgia players were pretty candid in their belief that the Georgia offense a year ago wasn't as good as it needed to be. And in the case of Ratledge, specifically the offensive line wasn't as good as it needs to be. Sometimes Kirby Smart's not nearly that candid. I am going to be really interested to hear when Smart speaks to open the press conference, almost certainly getting questions about some of that kind of stuff, the offseason criticism of like Mike Bobo, Stacey Sarles, for instance. If Kirby comes anywhere close to being as open, as honest, as candid about, yes, we know we need to get better, last year wasn't good enough, I think it'll be interesting to see if Kirby comes close to doing that, because in his post-game press conference in the Sugar Bowl, he kind of didn't. He sort of played it a little bit more politically, which is sometimes his prerogative, but the players themselves have been pretty honest. I think it'll be interesting to note if Kirby matches that or not when he speaks next week.
Well, I think we all agree that it wasn't as good as it should have been or could have been. Did they say why? Because that would have been my follow-up. It's okay, we agree that it wasn't as good as it could have been, all you Georgia offensive players that aren't in the program anymore. What was the reason for why it was like that?
Well, in the case of guys like Tate and others, they kind of put it on themselves, saying, hey, we could have executed better. I mean, Etienne and Tate both have their version of that. Mm-hmm. But in the case of Kirby Smart, you know, he has a tendency sometimes not to – I mean, you know, whatever we might universally agree as the obvious truth, Smart has a way of just sort of not playing along with that narrative. And like I said, in the post-game press conference at Sugar Bowl, you know, he's like, listen, I think our offense has been good. We've just played a really tough schedule and this and that. You know, if Kirby does not want to play along and if he doesn't want to give oxygen to a narrative, then he just won't. And it doesn't matter if you think he's lying or not, or let's not say lying. If he's not being as candid as he could be or not, he doesn't care. And I do think it'll be interesting to see how much he cares or doesn't care about kind of furthering a narrative that's obviously existed around his program.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you a couple of basketball questions, but real quick before I get to the current one, have you ever seen a more nice, more structured, more organized court storming event than what Georgia had last week?
It was really something. I mean, like a very procedurally well-executed type deal where you wait until the Florida team's off the floor, and then you kind of go out there. The TV, I guess, missed it, so they didn't get the money shot on TV, but there was some nice social media of that. Josh Brooks done a good job kind of, I guess, managing the students this year when it comes to that kind of thing. I do think the SEC's, and I don't blame this on Georgia, this is a league-wide thing, I think the SEC's obsession with, like, preventing court storming is a little bit weird, to be honest with you. I mean, I understand the injury and whatnot. I don't completely discount that. I just think it's kind of – I thought there was a little too much obsession with that in some of the SEC games I've watched this year. But Georgia was certainly very organized how they went about it. It was kind of an interesting thing from a logistics standpoint to observe.
It kind of feels like the right balance to me. Like,
okay, well, y'all can storm.
But let's get the guys off the floor. And if everyone's sort of like in agreement on that, then it seemed like, and everyone was, and Kirby was out there helping and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, that's the issue with storming the court, right? Is especially the opposing players and the home fans that may have had a couple beverages before the game, you know, getting after it. Like, I don't know if that's what it takes to allow it. To me, it felt okay. Like, I just. It does. It kind of neuters it a little bit, but maybe it makes it safer. I'm not sure.
So here's my problem, and I'll say this kind of quick. And this is not just a Georgia issue. This has been all across the league this year. When they start with like 2 minutes to go, making all these, you know, court storming announcements. Listen, Georgia's had a lot of second half collapse.
Right. They still needed to win.
They've had a hard time closing out leads. And so I've got my team on the floor up like a basket, and I got the PA announcer like, hey, y'all be careful about storming the floor. It's like, somebody's going to get embarrassed around that scenario before, sometime in the future. Hopefully it's not Georgia, but somebody in the SEC's going to have that happen to them, because it's definitely a juxtaposition of talking about court storming while the team on the floor is actually trying to beat a team they hadn't beaten in, you know, what seems like two decades.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Had Georgia blown that game.
Oh, God.
And they had been talking about, and they almost did, and then talking about storming the court, all the Florida guys are probably like, all right, come on, guys. You storming or what? No? You're not going to do that? All right.
That's exactly right.
Does beating Florida when they're ranked third in basketball, where does that sort of equate to beating Florida in the cocktail party for you?
Well, I mean, it doesn't even appear on the same, universe. But I will tell you this, is as Georgia's gotten better at football, a lot of the Georgia's rivals have taken solace in, well, y'all can be, football school. And they sort of treat that like it somehow, like, diminishes Georgia that it's a football school, as if they wouldn't love to be good at football. And so they're like, hey, we're an everything school, or we're also interested in other sports. So because of the fact that a lot of these Georgia rivals, Florida's certainly an example of this, have retreated to other sports because of the fact that football hasn't treated them very well. When Georgia then invades that turf too, I do enjoy that part of it, the petty part of me. But listen, I mean, nothing compares to a great win at football.
Nothing signifies a white football argument more than when you start talking about your school's Olympic sports.
Oh, God.
It's like, well, how many diving championships do you have? Okay. Oh, all right.
So the only thing worse than that's academic. The only thing worse than that's academic.
I've resorted to that.
But we used to do that, BA, because we used to do that back in the day, because Georgia, we won all the damn swim medals. And gymnastics.
And all those individual sports where you have a private coach you pay like $250,000 to, Georgia was killing it in all of those sports.
I won't claim innocence on the academic thing. When we were losing 12 straight years to Oregon and their fans were yelling at me, anything I had, I would try to use. All right, BA, we appreciate it.
When you're on the ground in a street fight, if you have to grab a bottle, man, you just sort of grab to use
anything I had. Great stuff as always.
Appreciate it, B.
Thank y'all very much.
Brandon Adams there, host of the Dog Nation Daily Podcast.
Our graduation rate.
Yeah. What was your GPA at Oregon? I literally said that to a guy one time.
Oh, no.
Yeah. No, I was not proud of it. And still not, but I did. I was so – Marcus Mariota made me. Beat us so bad that day. I was at Autzen. I was walking out. They were razzing me. The guy looked dumb, so I said that. Nah, not proud. My GPA wasn't even good at Washington. It wasn't good. Like, what was the point I was trying to make? I don't know. Sad. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an AMA. Any question, any topic, phone lines are open. 404-726-0929. Call us, please. Ask us anything. We will answer your questions next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Brought to you by Right From The Heart, rightfromtheheart.org. AMA to wrap the show up every single day.
Adams, released by the Jets.
Yeah.
So there's another free agent on the market. Hello, Chargers.
Chargers are a good fit.
Hello, Chargers.
I liked your idea of going back to the Packers, too.
Yeah, or the Packers.
Run it back. That's absolutely what they need.
Yeah.
Were you doing a little stretch there?
Yeah, I had to stretch my rotator cuffs out.
Okay.
Yeah. That's it. They look tight.
From what?
Push-ups, man.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. That's good.
Yeah, man.
That's not what I expected you to say.
That's
great.
I know. That's what I said.
All right. This hour also brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Book an appointment for a convenient time at ReliableAir.com. Skip is in the Yammobile. Hey, Skip.
Hey, what's happening, fellas? How y'all doing, Andy and Randy?
Pretty good, Skip.
Hey, Skip.
Hey, I got a question for Randy, but I got a quick statement right quick.
Right.
I was listening to y'all earlier talking about the Hawks and what the Hawks need as far as going to this upcoming free agency. I really think, man, the Hawks, before y'all talking about with J.J., Richeche, Daniels, and
Trey.
Oh boy.
Trey.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, Trey. And my thing is, man, is that I really think the Hawks just a legit center away. And let Double O come off the bench, man. Because four are legit starters. Man, I don't know what centers are free agent or we can trade. But I think the four we got, man, because if you look at that, let's see where Oklahoma City at, the Rockets, Memphis, and you see what Detroit did last year. They sucked last year, but they hung in there. I think the Hawks hang in there with what we got, man. I think the Hawks can do something. We just one legit center away, man, instead of another superstar. And Randy, the question I got for you, Randy, I was listening to you earlier too about you know, your combine and stuff and your draft status. What team did you hope not draft you, and then what team did you really want to go to? I know who you got drafted by, but who team you just please don't draft me, and who the team I hope y'all draft me?
Thank you, Skip.
Hey, y'all take it easy, my brother.
All right, brother. I really didn't have a like, I don't want to go there. I don't know. I'd really like, I thought about, like, I had like four teams I said, well, I really want to go. And Miami was not one of them.
Really?
No. I said the Cowboys, even though I hate the Cowboys, but I know how they take care of their players.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, I said the Cowboys. I said the Raiders because I'm Uncle Dave and him.
Okay.
Houston.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It was the Texans?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And
why?
It was a new franchise.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, new franchise.
I thought there was a different reason.
No. I ain't never been before then.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I ain't never been before.
Because now the reason.
Yeah, I never been before for them thick red bones thick red down bones, there. Yeah.
That's what I thought the reason
but
was.
Yeah, but no, Miami was never like.
What a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, it was. I was like, Miami. Cool.
Like, of all the places to not be like hoping for, to get like.
And the Giants.
Being a Dolphin would be, obviously, you were a Dolphin.
Yeah, but I was like.
Like, that's a pretty good one.
I was like, I'm not Miami. Oh, cool.
Huh. Yeah. What's that like? Oh, amazing.
Oh, Miami. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Plus, great jerseys.
Yes.
Like, they got to go back to the jerseys from back in the day. The new Dolphin doing a plank.
Yeah,
it's man. No good. Go back to the old Dolphin.
They keep messing up the colors and the damn Dolphin.
Giants would have been good. Yeah. I wish the Seahawks would have drafted you.
I should have been drafted.
If the Seahawks would have drafted you,
they wanted,
you guys would have won the Super Bowl in 2005.
They wanted freaking him.
Well, they did. They took him.
Yeah,
and he dropped
him.
A bunch of passes in the Super Bowl and got arrested 10 times.
They wanted that guy.
Yeah. You know a guy who doesn't get arrested and doesn't drop passes?
Dude, I'm telling
Randy.
You. Randy. I would have been so. I thought
you would have been perfect for that
landing spot.
God. Come on, Holmgren.
That was a damn landing spot.
That's why Holmgren can't get in the Hall of Fame.
You think
because he didn't draft Randy?
He drafted me. He drafted Jeremy Stephens.
Drafted Jeremy Stephens.
Jeremy damn Stephens.
They actually should bring that up whenever they. Now, he should be in the Hall of Fame, and hopefully he gets in someday. But they should bring the Jeremy Stephens thing up because not only did they draft him, they stuck with him for a long time.
Yes, they did.
Through a lot of nonsense. All right, David is in Tucker. Hey, David.
Hey, I've got a really basic basketball question here. Okay. You're lining up for a free throw. You've got three guys on one side of the lane, three guys on the other. What determines who takes what position in those lanes, in those six positions beside the lanes?
Oh, okay. So the guy who's shooting?
Uh-huh.
No, yeah. Who,
all right,
the
well,
other
no, yeah, I got
six
you.
Players?
I got you. Yeah. So I got you. The guys closest to the basket have to be on the other team,
mm-hmm.
right? And then the next two guys can mm-hmm. be the shooter's teammates.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next two guys are on the other team.
Yeah.
So they alternate.
Yeah.
And then the guy closest to him gets the shooter.
Yes.
The guy's closest to the basket.
Like, I'll tell you, when I was in high school, like, our favorite thing we used to do, like, when we were the bigs that were, the teammate was shooting, and we knew he was a bad free throw shooter, we would have this signal. And we would have a signal, and, like, I would go pick his guy, and he would be, we used to kill people with that.
You just pick him, and then a free lane to the rebound?
Yes.
Put back dunks and stuff?
Oh, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we,
that's great.
That was just give him a little signal. Oh, just kill people.
Nothing better than, and this is like kind of what you're talking about, but nothing better than a guy who's really good at missing on purpose
mm-hmm.
and can just like, because you got to hit the rim.
Right.
Like hit the rim and can come right back to him.
Right.
Like, nah. So that's what it is. That's how it works. Paul, also in Tucker. Hey, Paul.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Pretty good.
Good. Yeah, I just had an NFL question for you guys. Mobile quarterback, do you think NFL is just completely in the mobile quarterback area, or is there any more pocket passers that's going to come?
Well, I think that.
Thanks, Paul.
I think that what's going on in the NFL is what's going on from the high school to
that's
everything
right.
else. The best athletes playing quarterback.
Yep.
And so as long as that trend continues, those are going to be the bodies, the type of quarterbacks they're going to play, which I love.
I do, too.
Love the athleticism
I
of quarterbacks.
Too. The style of offense is being played really benefits you to have a quarterback like that because they do so much run-pass option
right.
stuff now.
Right.
And you're right. It's kind of a bottom-up
mm-hmm.
mentality in terms of, like, this being taught at lower levels, mm-hmm. and then that's what guys know when they get to high school. That's what guys know when they get to college.
Mm-hmm.
At first, it was like gimmicky to be doing it. Like, mm-hmm. oh, they're running that offense in college.
Right.
And then it started getting into the NFL. It's like, they're running that. And now it's just like so many teams are doing
it. You can't say they're a dual threat running quarterback can't win because one just won.
Yeah, and absolutely.
Yeah. And a true dual threat quarterback just won it.
No doubt.
Yeah.
And the dual threat quarterbacks have been MVPs every year the last handful of years.
Right.
And yeah, I don't know, honestly. I don't know how many guys in the next decade plus are going to get drafted if they aren't. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to have to be able to do...
That could be the... What's,
like, the fact that Shedeur Sanders is being talked about as a non-athletic quarterback is crazy.
Yes.
Because he's... Okay, he's not Lamar Jackson, but he's pretty damn athletic,
he's
man.
He's athletic.
And, like, 15 years ago, they would have been like, look how mobile he is.
Yeah, but it's a different time.
It is.
It's a different time.
No doubt. No doubt. Which I think is great. Like, it just has to be hard for guys that are... quarterbacks like that 20 years ago they were like, nah, you can't.
Nah, I can't
we don't really play quarterback like that.
Nope.
It's like, well, I'm the best athlete on the field and I have a great arm.
You gotta stand in the pocket and make plays.
Now I gotta stand there. It's like, I know, but what if the guy comes to get me and I run
for
a first
down? Can I not move out of the way?
Nah, gotta take the hit. It's tough. That's what we gotta do. Tababi is in Atlanta. Hey, Tababi.
Okay, so my question is for you guys with significant others, but I don't want to let Abe feel.
He's not here.
Abe feel left out.
Abe's not here. Don't worry about it.
Okay. All right, so earlier today, I let my wife listen to the Xavier Leggett conversation, and she knew exactly who they were referring to without context. I was like, you know who they're talking about? And she was like, yeah, Dollar Bill, which shows she actually does listen to me.
Okay.
But she still does not listen to me when it comes to me talking about my WWE crap.
Mm.
What is one subject that when you talk to your wife, they refuse to give you any attention on, like, no matter how many times you try, they just are not interested in hearing about that particular thing.
Oh, man. I'm
just trying to decide if I'm going to say what I'm actually going to say.
Mine is because we talk about it, and it's two things. One, bring your glasses and cups from the nightstand and not your car. And the biggest one now, and I just realized it, and it's been going on, like, our kitchen sink, it has two settings. It has the regular flow, and it has, like, the shower.
Okay. Right?
And, and I hate the shower. And she loves the shower.
Yeah.
And for some reason.
I only use it to get tough stuff
off. But she loves it for everything. And I can't stand it.
It splashes a lot.
It splashes. Yeah. And it gets me every freaking morning when I go to get Nico ready.
Oh, yours doesn't automatically go back.
Mine doesn't automatically go.
Okay.
I make sure before I go to bed that I click it.
Right.
Before I'm the last one because I know I'm going to be the first
common
one.
Common courtesy.
And for some reason, it's always on the – and she – and every time I go to get Nico, he has the 10-foot bowls.
Oh,
and it just sprays every damn
That's
way.
Just a shower.
That just said, baby, what? I said, can you leave the sink thing on? Well, I like that. I like it that way. Well, I like it that way. So that's our new thing right there.
Okay.
Is that. And for some reason, like, it gets me every single damn morning.
Remember, like, a couple years ago, we had that conversation and kind of running joke about how my wife would tell me, familiarize yourself with the spreadsheet.
Yes.
Well, I have.
You have.
And she doesn't like that much. I think I'm too familiar with the spreadsheet.
But you...
Because now I'm like, no, we can't do that.
But she...
She hates my newfound... Because I've always been pretty cheap.
Right.
But just myself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just don't spend any money. But now I'm like, oh, I didn't realize what all was going on.
Oh, no, no. She gets to spend.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, no. But, like, she did. And now it's like, okay, if we really want to do this, you know, we got to both be doing it.
Right.
She doesn't like that.
Oh, no.
She really doesn't hear it.
No, she's not.
Like, we're with each other every day for hours, off the air, on the air, all that. It's got to be twice a week where I'm like, again? Because she's like, whatever. I don't have to put all the business out there. But it's like, no, we're not doing that. Like, that's going to cost a lot of money. Remember when we, and she's like, yeah, I know, but you know.
Yep.
I was like, I know, but I know what? Familiarize yourself with the spreadsheet.
They
don't like when the mirror's turned around.
No, they don't.
They don't like it.
But you know me, y'all can go.
I know, but y'all can go still costs money.
But it's one less person.
That's true.
Yes.
That's true.
That ain't gonna never happen.
No. It's not gonna happen.
This will never happen.
Gene is in Decatur.
Y'all
hey, Gene.
Can go.
Hey, what's up, y'all?
Hello, Gene.
This is a very important question. Y'all used to have or maybe he's still been jumping on. There was a college basketball analyst. Pretty sure he was a brother. I think by Deontay Johnson or something like that.
But hey, man, are you friends with Deshaun?
I think this is Deshaun.
I don't know. I'm not friends.
Oh,
I just know that this analyst, he predicted the St. Peter's wave a few years back, and I, you know.
I need that.
Yeah, it's almost tournament time.
That sounded
he'll
like,
be here, but that sure do sound like Deshaun Tate's boy.
Gene's last name, I believe, is Tate.
Yeah, that sounds like some Tate right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, Deshaun Tate will be back with us.
Yeah, he'll be back in
he's
a couple
got
weeks.
A kid now. He's busy.
Yeah, busy. And now he's all sad because he jumped all over the – because you remember how he used to talk bad about
football. Oh, he's talking all kinds of now trash about the Lions.
Now Detroit winning. Oh, he just – oh, you can't tell him nothing about
then
football.
But they lost.
You can't tell him nothing about football.
Yeah.
I
don't know.
But yeah, he knew Tate.
Yeah, well, Tate will be on the show.
Yeah.
We just, you know, how much college basketball do you need? You know what I mean?
At this point.
We're giving you a lot.
Okay.
You know, Duke played last night.
I caught a lot of that game.
That kid's pretty good.
He's all right.
I'll hand it to him.
He's all right,
man. That Cooper Flagg can play.
Cowboys are restructuring deals right now. They're restructuring CeeDee Lamb's deal, created $20 million in cap space.
Wow.
Wow, that's a lot.
That's good.
And they just signed that D lineman, so that added more space. They might get another 30 when they restructure Dax.
Good.
Dax's number's at 90-something.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So they'll have to do that. Yeah and then you can sign Micah, and then you can hit free agency. Mm-hmm. Ground running.
Yes.
Like you can get some
You
guys.
Gotta get Micah done.
You got to.
You gotta get him done early.
Restructure now and then get Micah done and then hit the tampering period and get things going.
Yes.
Well.
That's it?
That's it. That's all the
okay. But yeah.
It's all the calls.
Yeah, they gotta if they can get Micah signed now and that adds more cap space because of the new content and all that other stuff. Oh, Dallas, I'm not gonna say they're gonna be good, but I mean they could be better and they can get some better players.
Yeah, that's the thing. They lost so many guys over the last handful. It's in injuries too. I mean, they had injury problems, but like still a lot of talent on that roster.
Yes.
It's still pretty
they got that's good. They got CD. They got they gotta replenish the line.
They need a running back.
Yeah, they need one. But what's his name's not that bad? What's his name? The running back?
Pollard?
No. No, not Pollard. Pollard's in Tennessee.
Who am I thinking of? Deuce Vaughn? They drafted him. He
still
hasn't done
anything. He still ain't played him.
Haven't used Deuce Vaughn. Who am I thinking of? I mean, they brought Zeke back. That wasn't good.
Come on, Bo. Fantasy guy?
There's a lot of running backs that
Rico
are
Dowdle.
Rico Dowdle.
Rico Dowdle.
All right.
Dowdle, yeah.
Yeah, Dowdle. They need a running back. But they got to add to it.
But this class.
It's a great class.
This is a great class of running backs.
There's going to be a lot of talent in this. I mean, there is a lot of talent in this running back class. You're going to be able to get guys in the second and third round.
I'm talking about good guys.
Day one starters.
Them damn Ohio State runners are going to be somewhere in that second round.
Yeah. No, honestly.
I mean, this is
probably two guys in the first round, right?
Yes.
You got Ginty, who didn't do anything in the combine either.
Yes.
And then all those other guys ran and look amazing.
Yes.
And then Omarion Hampton from North Carolina, who he might be the best one. I mean,
y'all better watch out
for
that.
I know Ginty's really good.
Y'all better watch out for that boy.
Somebody's about to get Omarion Hampton late in the first round, maybe mid first round, and immediately have a Pro Bowl running back.
Somebody might get him earlier than that.
Who do you think?
And I'm thinking right now, Bunk.
The Falcons.
I'm thinking right now, honestly, that he might be the first back.
Interesting.
Because this dude.
He's incredible.
Dude, he's big.
I saw this guy run for 250 yards and a half against App State a couple years ago in person.
That dude is.
Does somebody tackle that guy?
Dude.
No? All right. Another touchdown? Okay.
Hey, watch out, man.
No, he's a great player. All right, let's get to takeaways of the day.
He's all right, man.
There he goes again. There's 70-yard touchdown.
My takeaway of the day, courtesy of the Off the Cuff podcast, Andy was a bully.
I guess.
Yeah.
I feel bad about it.
You should.
I'm bullying myself now.
You should.
For having been a bully. I know.
Yes,
that sucks. Speaking of that, Bo has horse trauma. He got bullied by a horse.
And that's what happened. Now we know. TV missed UGA's money shot last week.
Yeah, Brandon Adams did say that. I don't think it's what he meant, but he did say it. All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow morning at 11. Have a great rest of your Tuesday.